Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world, and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits with our podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast to listen to whenever you want.
Triple M.
Oh, good morning, Roo. Those listening in with an ear to the radio will know that, I'm in charge, all right? There's been the odd mistake already this morning. Where is Mel the button pusher?
She might have had a little snooze. The little pregnant lady might have kept the head on the pillow for a little bit too long.
Now, so listen, Mel.
This is back to the good old days.
It is, yeah. Anything could happen here, Roo. Now, Mel, driving in, what would the fine be for sleeping in, do you think? What are we going to hit her with?
Coffee.
This coffee?
Yeah,
that'll do.
That'll do.
So, Mel, when you get in, straight to the kitchen, please.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. We've got 20 minutes of anything could happen here.
Right.
We could have microwave noises going over the top of the opener. We could have old replays coming in.
I might
in.
Play a song in a minute, but I might not.
We might even have the bloody Port song come on. Who knows? Just to try and get the confidence back up.
Yeah, there you go.
But
hey, what's coming up today, Roo?
Tex Walker always joins us on a Tuesday, and we're looking forward to having a chat
to
Tex.
The informed captain.
He's going well.
I've got a couple of things to put to text this morning. I thought he was a bit out of order the other day.
Yeah, well, playing too well.
Yeah, but kicks a goal and then runs over to the nicest bloke in the world,
who?
Travis Boak, and just pushes him in the chest. And then kicks another goal, runs over to Robbie Gray and just pushes him in the chest.
Yeah, you're getting a bit confident, the big Tex.
What the bloody hell was that about?
Throwing his weight around, exactly what Crows fans want him to do. We've got the Angels in later on as well.
Hey, Roo, driving in this morning at about 4:40 it was, I heard Nick Xenophon on Triple M, and he said something that's really, really worrying. From my point of view, just as an Aussie, which we often talk about unemployment and the future of our kids and getting jobs. He's going to hold a press conference this morning, and he's already said this, 27,000 positions can't be filled in the motor industry because we haven't got the skilled labour. We haven't trained our kids coming through in this area. And you're talking...
What do you mean the motor industry?
It's paint shop and it's panel beaters and mechanics and all of this sort of thing. It's going to be announced today, 27,000 jobs that can't be filled.
Well, you know what? It's actually good news.
Why?
Good news because let's train them and get the jobs out there then.
Yeah, but that takes time as well.
Can't take that
long. What if mobs close down in the meantime?
Nah,
anyway, we'll find out more. As I said, we'll hear from Nick Xenophon. He spoke overnight on Triple M. After this marathon night where they still haven't decided what they're doing about same-sex marriage.
Speaking of marathons, mate, we'll get Jess Trengove on as well. She's in London still, isn't she?
Yeah, isn't that a great story? Fastest ever by an Australian. Best ever result at the World Championships.
Yeah, we'll give her a bit of advice to already step it up a little bit.
Maybe
to come first next time.
We can help her out.
All our running experience.
Ruined it's here on Triple M. Now, I'll push this button, Roo, and just see what happens. Oh! Hey.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast 6:12. Yay, Mel's here.
Get on you, Mel.
Oh, Mel the button pusher. Right, give us 20 push-ups and 20 sit-ups, please, for being late.
Very sorry, and I did get told off twice in the lift already on the way up.
Don't use pregnancy as an excuse either.
Not
we're not accepting it.
No, fair enough too.
Now, Roo, making news around the place, what have you got for us?
The pitch invader, or the oval invader from the showdown. I don't know, not sure how he wants to be known or how you describe him, but... He's pretty comfortable with what he did. He's not too upset.
Someone suggested to me it's an $8,000 fine, or is that not right?
Five or eight, and only 3 months. I find that ridiculous.
Yeah.
3 months. It should be... I mean, if the bloke who let off a flare is a life ban...
Very good point.
Why isn't it somewhere in that category?
Well, in this
5 years,
day and age,
10 years?
In this day and age, we are scared about security and what goes on.
Well, what if he knifed it? What if he had a knife?
Yeah,
which happened. How do you know?
You know it's happened on the tennis tour over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but let's hear from him. He thinks he's done nothing wrong, this bloke.
Just got to the stage where I'd had a few and just thought, I've got to get on the field and kick a goal for the team because we couldn't do it ourselves. So, yeah.
Bloody Port supporters.
Moron.
Bloody Port supporters.
Yeah.
What are your club going to do about this? Anything?
make sure, well, before he pays his fine, we got to make sure he pays his membership for next year. So we got to get that out of him first. Because if he pays his fine, he's got nothing left.
Exactly. Right.
Young lad, I think he's from Parra Hill, so he's probably you know, a bit of a labourer or something. Mm. Probably does it a bit hard.
But 3 months, that's
not adequate.
Not good enough.
Hey, Roo, Nick Xenophon, I mentioned already on my way in this morning, had a couple of really important things to say. Now, this gay marriage argument, debate in Parliament is dragging on and dragging on. And I'm going to make a statement here. It's quickly becoming all about Malcolm Turnbull and nothing to do with the actual issue at hand. And this really annoys me. And it turns out it's about Malcolm Turnbull trying to get his own Liberal MPs rallying around him to show solidarity. Because if some of them cross the floor and vote against him, he's lost them. It's only on this issue. But there are those saying that all he's concerned about is his own leadership and his own power and not about same-sex marriage.
Who's saying this?
Well, let's hear from Nick Xenophon.
It just seems to be that there's this bubble in Canberra where we talk about just about everything that people don't want to talk about. Of course, marriage equality is important, but we should have made this decision to get on with it. People are worried about housing affordability. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about substance abuse. They're the sorts of issues that that people want police to deal with instead of just going round and round in circles. People are just screaming at each other in Parliament and abusing each other. The whole thing is just crap, really.
Now, you never hear Nick Xenophon talk like that.
Well, I agree with him 100%. People are sick to death of talking about this. Just make the decision and get on with it.
But as I said to you, I'd be very, very disappointed if it's all about Malcolm Turnbull and him saving face and him worried about his leadership. Because it's not about that.
You don't reckon politicians do that?
No, but this is bigger. And if it is about that, he should fall on his sword. A lot of people have been annoyed with his leadership for a long, long time. Yeah. I hope he's bigger and smarter than this. I really do. But as Nick Xenophon, he went on to say, look, we get paid a lot of money to be in Parliament and it's childish. We sit here arguing and yelling across the floor at each other. Let's get some things done.
Yep.
And I agree with him.
No, fair enough.
The other thing he went on to say, I told you earlier about these 27,000 jobs.
I'll be doing a press conference in Canberra with the Motor Trades Association of Australia. They are beside themselves because there are 27,300 jobs that need to be filled in that industry. You know, spray painters, repairers, good jobs, jobs that pay well. But there's a massive skill shortage. They've been warning the government about this for over 2 years or for years now, and nothing's being done. While we're paralysed on the same-sex marriage, the marriage equality debate, there are things like tens of thousands of Australians, young and older workers, who just can't get it, who aren't able to get a job because the government isn't making the decisions it needs to make.
Well done. So you're saying they're getting bogged down arguing about this other thing.
That is frightening, if that is correct. How can we be in a situation where our country's not training enough people to have the jobs here if we're whinging about jobs? South Australia, for instance, has been the worst. Why isn't South Australia doing that and making a focus of it?
Well, one of the problems is what he just pointed out. Politicians are so focused on themselves and their own career instead of making the decisions that are going to actually help us and affect us in a positive way.
Have you heard Nick speak about that before? Have you heard anyone speak about that before?
No. It's come out of the blue. So obviously people knew this was happening. It doesn't overnight, you don't have 27,000 shortages.
No.
It happens over a long period.
We've been speaking about apprentices and stuff like that. It's sort of saying that we know that that's going to be a shortage later on. Well, you know, maybe those guys have seen this coming from a couple of years away as well.
Yeah. All right. What else have you got for us, Roy?
Another little power price update. Yeah. Just confirming once again that we have got the most expensive power in the world. In the whole world. We've knocked off Denmark.
Oh, beauty.
We've knocked off Germany. We've knocked off Italy. Then it's New South Wales, then Ireland, then Queensland, Portugal, Victoria.
Oh, yeah. We want to be world leaders.
We're nearly double the EU average. Mm. So it's just getting worse and worse. Not far off raising the bat at 50 cents a kilowatt. We're up to 47. So the EU average is 29.
Well done.
Yeah, and there's some places that it's costing 17 cents. So, less than half, way under a half. So,
all right.
If you're doing it tough out there and can't pay your bills, that is why you've got the most expensive power in the world.
Good on you, Roo. That's what's making news around the place. In a moment, we're going to go to Canberra and find out how crazy, ridiculous, and what a waste of time this same-sex debate has been overnight.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
6:21, Roo, a massive day in Canberra, a marathon day in Canberra, I should say. We've already heard from Nick Xenophon just spraying Parliament saying, it's ridiculous, it's childish. We all sit there yelling and screaming at each other all day and no decision has been made. Let's get an update here. Channel 7 News reporter Olivia Leeming was there. She had to sit through the whole thing. Olivia, good morning. Was it a long, long day for you?
It feels like this issue's been talking about it forever, and they seem to have reached a compromise, which might mean that we'll have a postal vote on same-sex marriage. That is looking as though that's the most likely option now. They nutted out this issue, thrashed it out late yesterday. It's a very divisive one. Some people have been pushing in the party for a free vote in the parliament. They want this issue dealt with now. Others say, we promised the electorate at the last election a plebiscite and we need to stick with that. So what they've decided to do is that they're going to try and put that policy of a plebiscite to the Senate again. It's already failed. If it fails again, which probably will, then they'll go ahead with this postal vote. So later this year, probably everyone will receive a letter in the mail and then they can choose whether or not to take part. It won't be compulsory, but they will get a chance to have their say on whether or not same-sex marriage should be legalised. If the majority of Australians vote yes, then the government says there will be a vote in the parliament before Christmas.
So what, 51%, is that a win? Is it just when you say majority, is that enough, is it?
Well, yes. So the majority, I guess that's 51%, but considering it's not compulsory, that's where some of the concern lies. There's some people saying that, you know, some young people or disadvantaged people, people from foreign backgrounds, that they might be at a disadvantage under this system because it isn't like the traditional plebiscite where everyone has to go to the ballot box would an election. So there could be some issues there, but it seems that this has been the best way to try and keep everyone in the Liberal Party happy.
Was there any common sense spoken in there yesterday at all? And the reason I raise this is that if we have a postal vote, which it looks like we are, you're saying it then has to go to a parliamentary vote anyway. Why don't we cut out the middle?
What does that mean?
The middleman, and just go straight to that vote because we need them to vote on it anyway.
Well, that's exactly, that's been the argument of a number of people in and outside the Liberal Party. They're saying it has to go to a parliamentary vote anyway, so what is the delay? And so many opinion polls, independent opinion polls, have found that the majority of Australians, they do support same-sex marriage, or they want it dealt with. They know that it's inevitable. It's in so many countries around the world, similar democracies. Can we just deal with this issue, get on with it, so that we can focus on other things affecting our daily lives?
So there's seriously, we could vote yes for it by the public, then it can go back to Parliament and they can say no.
They can say no, yeah.
Well, it's possible. I guess most MPs have been saying that they will listen to the will of the people. So if the public says yes, they won't take that lightly. They do acknowledge that they do have to act in the interests of their constituents. And if Australia wants same-sex marriage, then so be it.
Good on you, Olivia. Thanks so much for talking to us early in the morning after a long, long day. Olivia Leeming, Channel 7 News reporter in Canberra. Is this farcical or what?
It is farcical. Surely if they want to put it out for a vote, well, then just go with the vote says.
Yeah.
Why should it have to go back?
You know it's going to cost a fortune to do this vote as well.
Of course.
Over $100 million.
The plebiscite was 160, so yeah. I don't know what this will cost, but too much money for something we all just say, get on, do
it. Well, we're being run by clowns, seriously. Bloody joke.
Oh, it's not like there's nothing else to sort out.
There's no other burning issues, no. Ruined Tits for breakfast.
On 104.7 Triple M. That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers...
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Good morning, Tex.
Morning, Dits.
Yeah, how are you? Big smile on your face. You two chat away, go on.
That's all right. We can't really talk about too much because it'll just sound like we're, you know, a bit happy with ourselves, Dits. You need to ask some questions about your footy club.
But this is a Texas segment. I'll get to that tomorrow. We've got Hamish Hartlett coming in tomorrow. This is all about Tex and the Crows. Very, very well.
I'm happy to talk about whatever, Dits.
Yeah?
Yeah, whatever.
Now, what was your problem? You kick a goal, you're up and about, you're playing well, and you individually, I thought your first half was fantastic.
Yeah.
You kick a goal and you run past the nicest person on the field, Travis Bogan, just push him, shove him in the chest. What was that about?
What did he do wrong? When did I do that?
After you kicked a goal. And then...
Oh, he was just in my sights, probably.
Later you kicked another goal and you went and picked on Robbie Gray, who was just walking along, walking back to the middle, minding his own business. And you went and shoved him.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do
that. Bloody angry big fella you are.
Sorry, Dits. Do you want me to stop doing that?
What was that? Do it to other teams. Don't do it
to other teams. Yeah. All right. I'll do it to other teams, just not Port.
That's it.
I'll look after your boys.
Genuine wet trackers, the Adelaide Crows. If they're a racehorse, they'd have a W next to them in the form guide. The games you've played in the wet this year, you've been just play like you're in the dry. It's funny. Some players can do it. Some players can't. Some players are better at it. And Adelaide just seem to have a group of players that are very good at that. I mean, you know, the Crouch brothers are built for it and played at it coming from Ballarat. And Douglas and Sloan, but even guys like Atkins and, you know, the outside players seem to be able to handle it. You are good in the wet as well. Eddie was unbelievable. Oh, so
how good is he?
I think it's a bit of confidence that if you get a wet day in September that might be able to get the job done.
Yeah, well, you try and create a culture that irrespective of weather, whether it's raining, hailing, whatever it is, sunny, that you can just rock up and roll the sleeves up and compete and... what he does is...
That was unbelievable.
It's not anymore because it's just pure skill because he does it so often.
Yeah, but it's still unbelievable. Dwayne Russell nicknamed him Eddie the Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was listening to... I watched a bit of the replay yesterday.
I reckon that's his name forever now.
I love how he said when he kicked that one that Hartlett touched. He goes, I'm going to still call him Eddie the Unbelievable.
That was a party pooping act, wasn't it? I would have
pulled my hand back and not even put my hand up saying it was a point.
It's hard to roll your sleeves up when you got two Guernseys on.
Yeah. Dits.
What are you getting at?
Oh, I just there's talk that there was five players out there from Port. Now this might be wrong. That had two jumpers on.
So what?
Sure they didn't need three or four?
What's your point?
I think it means they're not switched on, Dits.
God, you come out with some crap. Because you wear two jumpers, you're not switched on.
Yep.
Explain that to me.
Well, did you ever wear two jumpers when you played squash?
In the warm-up I did.
Yes.
I played in some freezing countries.
In the warm-up.
Well, hang on.
How can you need two tops?
How does it affect comfort? How does it affect you getting the ball kicking goals?
Because you're heavier. You've got rain on your dits. You're heavier.
I've heard some stuff in my time.
No,
I can't query you because you're a Brownlow medalist and champion of the game.
I did it once. I put my hand up. I did it once.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah, I did. I said that to you.
Right.
I did it once and it was a wet day, cold day in Witten Oval in Melbourne when I was 21.
Tex, when you ran out.
And never ever did it again.
Onto the ground at the start of the game and you saw five blokes, mm-hmm. you must have thought, oh, we got this game won.
I didn't think that, but I thought we had a little bit of a mental edge.
I'm keeping out of this. No. This is absolute.
What do you reckon it's normal?
Ball dust.
Do you reckon it's normal? You don't. This be is honest, here, Dit. You I've, reckon it's okay? Do you?
I want to draw a comparison.
I'm being
here.
Serious.
Go back to the other week where we talked about Rory Atkins having blonde hair.
Yes.
What? I can't believe you blokes go on with this stuff. Does that affect you getting the ball and kicking goals, does it?
It's not that. I thought that was a mindset about that he wanted to be more about Rory Atkins than just get the job done.
Tex
is not going to pot his
own. This is a ruined ditch show.
No, it's not. This is your segment and we've commandeered it.
I'm happy to sit back and listen.
You're happy with Donald Dickey going and getting an outrageous haircut the night before a grand final. You think that that's just rocking up in the rooms and everyone's just going to say nothing and not worry about it or... It's taking away the...
Team.
It's,
the focus.
It is.
Yeah, all right. Should Tex have that mo?
No, that's different. That's
is it? When you first screw that, don't tell me you didn't get a reaction. Everyone's called you the porn star ever since.
At the time when you walked in.
Anyway, we're getting off track here. This is bloody stupid.
It was a good win.
It was a great win.
Great win. If you said to me we're going to win by that.
At quarter time, were you 1-9? Did that worry you at all? Did you think you'd... I mean, as it turns out, you've had a record win, but...
Obviously, you'd rather finish than not, but... I felt that we had control of the game. Our defensive side of things was outstanding. We just kept getting re-entries. I don't know how many inside 50s we had in the first quarter, but
heaps.
We ended up in for 80 for the whole game. So just felt in total control of the first quarter. And then obviously we were able to continue that on the rest of the game.
Mm. give us an insight into Port Adelaide out there. Was it doom and gloom? Were they, were they into each other? Were they quiet?
Were they trying to rally each other up? Oh. It didn't look like there was no response, was there, Dits?
No, I think there was some obviously some demand from the backs to their mids, and they've probably seen a fair bit of the ball, probably not as much as they'd like. But I think good teams do challenge each other and demand.
But were they doing it? That's the point.
They were, yeah. A few of the boys down back were. I heard them say, I don't think it's doom and gloom. It might be the loss that they needed to have going into finals, Dits. Sometimes you need.
I've had a few.
Encouragement from Tex. Righto. All right, stay with us, Tex. More in just a moment. What have you got there, Wag?
Hello, I just needed to interrupt quickly. I've just had a text message from Mrs. Dittmer.
Oh, what'd she say?
This is happening daily.
What now?
This is a fine example of Dits coming out with both guns blazing when defensive. Poor Tex, welcome to my life.
Oh. Bloody hell.
Thanks, Kate, I love you.
Roo Dits and Kate here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
More with Tex Walker after the massive win on the weekend. Hey, Tex, we love it when you ring us on a Monday as well. Mm-hmm. Let's just go back to yesterday.
Anyway, this bloke, he said, my girlfriend said she was leaving me due to my obsession with the 1960s group The Monkees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I thought she was joking, but then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Okay. Good on you, Tex. Anyway, I asked just a moment ago, I want to know what you are doing as a playing group for McGovern and Lever. When they read in the paper the speculation every single day,
keep winning.
Is that all you do? You know, surely as captain of the club, you've got to talk to them.
Yeah, I've expressed my views on things, and it's just a decision that they need to make now.
Oh, we know that. Give us a stock standard. What have you said to them specifically? How have you convinced them that they should stay here?
I just tell them to look at the top of the ladder.
Oh, really? Right. And it's as simple as that, is it?
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, but what about monetary? I mean, surely these are young fellas who are looking at their future.
Well, I think everyone's different, so they've just got to make that decision themselves.
Well, whether it's money or family or or premierships or culture, or they take all those sort of things into consideration?
Well, as you would.
Yeah.
As you would.
Looking back, I don't know if we can make any comparisons at all. Why did Danger go home in the end? Purely family?
Family.
That was it.
That's what he told me.
Wasn't money. I can guarantee you.
All right. Purely family. What about these two boys? I mean, we don't want to get too personal, but what do you know about their connections at home? Are they you know, really, really close and tight knit?
One's from WA, one's from Victoria.
Right. He's not going to give you anything, Tex.
Right.
He's not going to give you much.
It's not about me. It's the fans that are listening, Tex. Everyone is so keen for you to keep these two boys.
As we all are.
Mm. You're doing everything you can, Tex.
They're two of many players that we want to keep at our footy club. I think it's important. They're probably the two that are getting spoken about a lot.
Yep.
But I want to keep every single player that we've got on the list, which is a bit of a double-edged sword. You've got to roll your list over a certain amount of times each year, but I want to keep everyone at our club.
All right, now
it's probably selfish and
stubborn.
No,
and so you should. But and I'm being serious with this question I'm about to ask you, but I was looking at it. I was talking to Dale Lewis about this on the weekend. The amount of talent you've got down back, if Lever stays, you've now got Keith coming through. You've got Hardigan trying to get back into the side. Chaney's waiting in the wings. Don't know where he sits in all of this.
Otten, Duda.
Otten, yeah. So I don't know. I don't think you can keep all of those because they want to play a game.
I'm going to be greedy. I want to keep all of them.
Yeah, but they want to play AFL footy.
Yeah.
It'll be hard to keep all of those boys. I think Keith has shown a bit.
He's all right,
and
isn't he?
Big lad. And when he plays, imagine him playing 30 or 40 games. He'll be much better.
Jeez, he's competitive. Mm. He's an animal.
Mm. So he might need to go across town.
What?
You can't keep all of those blokes. I'm serious, you can't.
Well, if Trengove and Pittard leave, it might be a couple of holes down back.
What do you do, Dits, for guys that want to leave Port? Do you speak to them?
Talk about the club that's been there since 1870 and the culture of it and how important it is to play for our club.
Dits is a little bit edgy this morning because it's come out that Gold Coast are trying to poach Ken Hinckley.
Nah, that's garbage.
Oh, is it?
It's garbage.
What about Carlton trying to get Jackson Trengove?
Garbage. Mm-hmm. Righto, Texas.
North Melbourne, Jasper Pittard.
By the way, Essendon away this weekend. Mm. Real important game.
It is.
Every week's important. I was going to say more so an interesting game because it's hard to get a guide on Essendon, I reckon. Don't know what sort of side they are.
They're playing some pretty good footy. Their attack is very, very good. Mm. So we're going to have to be defensively on our game. And once again, she's going to start in the middle, big source in the mid, so they can give us a good look at it down forward, then we'll go there confident that
no,
we can win.
No Orazio Fantasia, did his hamstring, and at this stage, no Zach Merritt, the fourth favourite for the Brownlow, so there are a couple of things out. But
and then it sets it all up for Sydney on a Friday night here in Adelaide. How good's that?
We're just 1 week at a time, Ditz, to be honest.
Yeah, don't try and throw us off.
I'll just write that down.
Yeah.
Righto, give us your dad joke.
Bear with me. A woman had twins and gives them up for adoption, Dits. One of them went to a family in Egypt and they named him Amal. Mm-hmm. The other went to Spain and named him Juan. Years later, Juan sent a photo of himself to his mum. She said to her husband, she wished she had a photo of Amal. He responded, they're twins. If you've seen Juan, you've seen Amal.
Not bad, Tex. Not bad at all, mate. Good work,
boys. Good
work.
Good luck against the Bombers this week.
Thanks, good work, mate.
A big Tex Walker.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Pressure point.
Ruin Dids, $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, let's go back to back. We gave away $1,000 yesterday, Roo.
Come on, let's do it again, Dids. Yes. We got plenty of money in the bank. Let's get rid of it. Let's go out to Salisbury Downs. G'day, Jack.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good, Jack. What are you up to today, buddy?
Just driving a truck, picking up rubbish bins.
Good man. You're a garbo.
Well done.
Yeah, garbo.
Oh, good boy. I put mine out this morning and they were heavy as hell. Is there a weight limit on those things? How do you work out when you're leaving there with the green bins?
Mine got knocked back recently. Hey, Jack, I got a pink sticker on my bin, my green bin, because it was too heavy.
Oh, no, doing the rear lift bins, different type.
Oh, you're doing those real big ones?
Yeah, the big ones.
Oh, the big ones. All right. Well, how about you win $1,000, mate, and get off to a good start for the week? You ready to go?
Right. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, mate. Don't sound too enthusiastic. Yeah, give me 10 things you help use when you're cleaning.
Oh. Paper towel, broom, mop, sponge.
Yep.
Vacuum.
Good.
Washing machine. Spray gun, dry cleaner.
Going well.
Duster.
Oh!
Blow gun.
Oh, Jack, let's count them up.
Oh, no.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh! Correct.
Oh, no. Thought you were going to say your girlfriend to get your 10 or something. Jack.
You need a rubbish truck.
Yeah, should have said rubbish truck.
Rubbish truck.
That's right. Oh, Jack, it was so close.
Well done, Jack.
So close so far.
Right.
Oh, now, God.
Consolation prize is you're off to see the Angels at Theberton Theatre Friday the 13th of October. Stay on the line there, Jack, helping clean up Adelaide this morning. Gee, good young lad. He was so close. And by the way, Alice the Wag has written down, this is the sheet we get each morning, the pressure test constellation. So you're getting a set of stars from the sky as the constellation prize.
Yeah, good work.
Alice is looking
at me.
You
got no idea.
It's consolation prize, not constellation. Anyway, sorry.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M with Ruined Dits. Roo, over the weekend, World Athletics Championships, an Adelaide girl has done us so proud again. She's just an amazing athlete. Jess Trengover's run the fastest time ever by an Australian over there in London, and she joins us. Jess, good morning and well done.
Thank you.
What a great performance. Jess, just run us through the race. I've read where, I think in the middle stages, you actually dropped off the lead pack again and then you went hard again. How tough and how difficult was that?
Yeah, look, it was challenging. Unfortunately, we had great support out on course. So it was at about the 19-kilometre mark. I'd fallen off, and it's a really crucial point in the race. If you end up on your own there, it's a long, you know, a long chunk of the race to run solo, and there was a bit of a breeze about, particularly along the Thames there. So it was really important that I got back onto that pack, and a few spectators were yelling out and sort of spurred me on, and yeah, I was really happy to get back in with the pack at halfway, and fell off again probably at about 27, and was able to sort of catch back up by 30k. So it was a different race for me because there were lots of changes of pace. It was more like a fartlek marathon, which is challenging. Ultimately, you sort of run a pretty even pace, but yeah, it was really nice to sort of have a different experience, and I really enjoyed it out there.
Dits and I are getting tired just thinking about it, Jess, that you're doing fartlek for 10Ks and in the middle of a marathon. Yeah. Are you feeling better than you've ever felt in your life? Obviously you are if you've run a PB, but you got your body in good shape.
Yeah, look, I was really happy with the training I was able to get done in the lead up to this one, and it was, you know, helped with 3 weeks in Switzerland to sort of just put the icing on the cake before coming into London. So I was really grateful for that opportunity, and I seem to have pulled up well so far. Just a few, yeah, sore blisters and average looking toenails, but other than that, I think my body's okay.
See, that must be hard for a girl, Jess. We know that girls like their fingernails and their toenails looking right, so that must be a tough part of the sport.
Yeah, look, I gave up the hopes and dreams of becoming a foot model a while ago, so it's all right.
Fair enough. Jess, what does it mean to you? The fastest time ever. That's just an enormous feather in your cap.
Yeah, it's still a bit surreal, to be honest. It's a huge honour. I'm, like, so inspired by, you know, our marathoners of the past in Australia, and to sort of have that credential means a lot to me.
Yeah, for sure.
What's your plans for the future? Is it the Olympics? Is that your main goal going forward when you want to, you know, absolutely peak and run your best time ever?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've got this incredible opportunity with the Commonwealth Games being held in Australia next year. So that's my big focus now. So the result yesterday fortunately means that I get automatically selected for the marathon team for the Gold Coast. So now I can really just take some time to chill out and let my body recover and start planning the build-up for that one. So that's the next big goal, I guess. And then yeah, I haven't thought too much beyond that. I think it's just really exciting that we've got a home Commonwealth Games coming our way. I think Australia will really get behind it.
Being in London, a very, very exciting city, and I've read where you you love running the London Marathon. How did you celebrate? Where did you go?
Look, I was pretty exhausted yesterday. My roommate's competing in a couple of days, so we're just sort of, you know, firing up for her race, and then we'll probably celebrate after that. But we did actually go to a restaurant that I'd loved when I was over here in April for the London Marathon. So I went there with my coach and a couple of others and just enjoyed plenty of food.
Hey, Jess, it's just an enormous effort. You compete in arguably the toughest event in the world, and you've done a great job. The fastest time ever by an Aussie, best finish by an Aussie. We're all so proud of you. And, yeah, just
thank
onwards
you.
And upwards towards the Commonwealth Games. Well done.
Thank you, and it means a lot to have so much support from South Australia. I absolutely love it. I'm very grateful.
Good on you. Well done, Jess Trengove. Roo, what a family as well, hey? Colin and Deb, the parents, are absolute rippers, and you know their brother Jack and Abby, the other sister as well. What a family.
I knew she was going to run a PB, Dits.
How?
Oh, because when she ran past me up Kenzie Road a few weeks ago, I could just tell that, you know, she was going faster than she normally does.
You were the inspiration.
Oh, no. She was the inspiration. Said, I don't want to end up like that old hack.
104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruindis.
Oh, very nice. Mel the Button Pusher, Alice the Wag, and Ange married to the package, Mr. South Australia.
Dits, we've got something we want to get off our chest today. This annoys the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. It forces me to lie. Mm-hmm. It really pushes the relationship, strains the relationship. And I know you're the same.
How often does this happen, by the way, what you're about to get into? Once a week, twice
Nine
a week?
Nine out of ten times that we go out.
Ooh.
All right. And we're talking about why are women always late in getting ready to go out? So say if we're going out we have to be somewhere at 7 and, you know, we put a 10-step plan down to get ready by sort of 20 past 6 so we can get the taxi and get there on time and everything. Why, if we say you have to be ready by 6:30, are you still not ready by 6:30 most of the time?
Hang on, try about 6:45, 6:50. I've had cabs out the front of my. I have to go out four times and say, sorry, mate, nearly, we're nearly there. What goes on?
Seriously.
Ange.
Well, in my family, because we have children, it's normally because Rob will just have a shower, you know, 5 minutes in and out, dressed, you know, just put a bit of wax in the hair or whatever. And then for me, I've got to get the kids sorted out. Their dinners, you know, if there's babysitters.
Yeah, but you knew that.
You knew that.
Yeah, but you're dealing with children. Like, things happen.
I haven't got children in my house.
Oh. and then I'm the one left, you know, last minute. I go, oh shit, you know, I've got half an hour to get myself ready. And we've got makeup, hair, coordinate the outfit. Hey,
if a husband's not kicking in, we understand it. If he's the cause of it,
Rob the package.
Yeah, come on, lift. Yeah.
Right, Alice then, the Wag.
it's just really, it takes us a long time to look good, essentially. So,
but you know that. You know that. So, why don't you start earlier?
I'm just a real sucker for sitting on the couch doing nothing. Like, you have a shower and then you just sit on the couch in your towel.
Wet hair.
Yeah, and your wet hair and just dread getting ready. And so, maybe the first 2 years of our relationship, we used to get in big fights because, you know, I would be so late all of the time. And I don't take very long to get ready. But now Joel literally will have to sit there and give me time calls. So he starts calling every 10 minutes. And it's actually keeps me on schedule because he'll go, you know, we're leaving in 17 minutes, Alice, 17 minutes. So the other day for Seinfeld, I sat on the couch for 40 minutes and I got ready in 7.
Mm. Ooh.
Why did I do that? It's annoying.
Because you're weird. Mel, are you a late person?
I'm not too bad, but I will admit to it. Yep. And I'm not
She's not too bad. Yeah. What happened this morning?
Yeah, you're late.
I was late.
Slept in.
That wasn't because I was getting myself looking nice. That was very far away from that. but I think in our household at least, Danny's much better at just cutting things off and going, right, whatever's not done now isn't done. Kids, if you haven't eaten dinner, tough luck.
So if you've got half your makeup on, we're going out.
Yeah. So he's good at going, I'm walking out the door, whereas I'm like, oh, one more thing, I forgot to do that. Oh, one more thing, I forgot to do that. And then I'm ducking back in. He just goes out and starts the car.
Yeah, but what about starting the car? I've often said to my wife, do your lipstick in the car. I'll drive. Just get the mirror down and keep going with your...
speed humps.
My old man used to toot that one. I can still remember it as a kid.
Yeah. Rob does that. Rob and the kids will sit in the car at the front and he'll just keep beeping the horn.
And what about this other one that happens right in my house? I'm waiting. I'm going, bloody hell, we're 20 minutes late already. So I go in, I poke my head into the ensuite. Get out. You're putting pressure on me. So I'm not even allowed to. I'm not even allowed to go and look and think, how far away are you?
I got one.
I get yelled at for that.
What about when you go in there and you're late and she's making the bed?
That's what happened in our
house. Can't come home to an unmade bed.
That's just about when I can.
Oh, yeah.
No, do you know the biggest thing for girls, what it is? You're going out to an event, so you plan your outfit in your head and you go, yeah, I'll wear those new jeans with that top. Like, that'll look awesome. And then you go to put it on like 15 minutes before you leave and you look like a sack of potatoes and you go, I can't wear this.
But you have planned it and in your head
you look like Lara Bingle in it. And then when you put it on, you actually look like AJ Rochester. And you're going, oh, God, this is a disaster. And then it takes you an extra 15 minutes to find a new outfit. outfit, and that's where girls go wrong.
Outfits viral.
All right, next topic, Rue. Explain this one to me, please, about women as well. Snooze button. You admitted this morning, Alice, you hit yours four times.
Four times.
How many minutes are there between snoozes?
I actually hit it four times and started a timer going. Right. So six went off in general. Started
and you've got your husband in bed next to you.
My boyfriend, yeah.
Yeah, boyfriend.
Because this happens to me, Rue.
You've woken him up five times.
Well, yeah.
Rue, on the weekend when I want to sleep in, if I want to sleep in and Kate's off to work on a Saturday morning, I'll get three snooze buttons. And so I get woken up three times with three alarms. And I think, why didn't you just sleep that extra time? Why didn't you have no snoozes?
No, because you need to lie there and prepare yourself and be like half asleep
and go, okay,
I need to get out of bed in 7 minutes. And then you go, no, okay, I need another 4 minutes. And you just have to mentally prepare.
Isn't your boyfriend crook at the moment? And you've woken him up five times this morning.
Well, sometimes he doesn't wake up because I like literally land on the alarm as soon as it goes off and like start it again. So
he wakes up.
Just playing with fire. But sometimes on weekends, I'll leave my weekday alarm to go off at 3:50.
Nice.
So then you wake up
but
and you go.
But that's an accident, isn't
no,
it?
No, because it feels so good to wake up and go.
You idiot.
Oh,
I can stay
you've
in
got
bed.
Issues.
That's all right. And do you use the snooze button?
I will just set my alarm for the latest time possible because I'm sleeping that whole time. And then I just get up
good.
And get in the shower.
Good.
And go.
Perfect wife. Well done.
Good on you.
Mel, the button pusher, snooze buttons.
This morning I trialled something new. Just the go. Back to really deep sleep button, and it had no effect whatsoever.
So you had a loud alarm that didn't even wake up. Well, let's just put that down to pregnancy.
You know how if you sleep in, you normally remember hitting snooze or stop or something, and you go, oh, but I went back to sleep. I don't even remember any of that.
Yeah,
and the alarm did go off.
Yeah.
You got baby in the belly.
Yeah.
Righto. Thanks, angels.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
We are the champions for all the big causes out there, Rue. We care, don't we?
Well, we're just a voice of the people here
on
Triple M.
That's right. We want to get things done. If we were in charge, we'd get a lot more things through than our parliament seems to be able to.
Probably break a few rules in the meantime, I think.
Yeah. Now, same-sex marriage doesn't affect me one bit. Now, you and I have said this, I know, 50 times on this show.
Yep.
Till it gets boring.
Yeah, and I think most of our listeners tend to agree from what we've thrown the lines open before and no one's come back and disagreed with what we're saying.
The most disappointing thing for me is that from what I can gather yesterday in Canberra, it became all about Malcolm Turnbull rather than the issue. And the reason I say that is I listened to different commentators overnight and they debated this all day and all he's concerned about is losing some of his Liberal MPs and losing their support. And if he does that, then his leadership's in question, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all about Malcolm, which is very disappointing. And he's not the first and he won't be the last. So if you think I'm picking on him, they're all the same.
Yep.
But you've got to be better than that and smarter than that. And, Rue, you and I have said 50 times, what will this do to our lives? What will it do to your life and mine and your kids' lives if they legalise it right now?
And we know that it's going to help a lot of people's lives because they can do what they want to do.
Yeah.
So that you would think there's only positives to gain out of it.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
But even with the positives, Rue, surely in life now, in the modern society, if you don't believe in something or agree with something, don't you just move on anyway? If it doesn't affect
you. That's our point. It's not going to affect people to the negative, but it's going to, if we approve it, there's going to be a lot of happy new couples out there.
I'll give you a way out example. If I'm driving down North Terrace tomorrow and I go past the Church of Scientology, doesn't interest me one bit. But if there's 100 people in there worshipping, I drive on and I leave them to it, don't I? Likewise, if they drive
as long
past
as they're
me,
they're not causing any issues for everyone else.
No, but they're inside their church doing what they want to do. It won't affect me, and so therefore, I don't do anything about it, and I move on. And that's just one crazy example. There are many, many things in society every day that I don't partake in and I don't agree with, and you'd be the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do we do anything about it, or does it affect us, or do we worry about it?
Not if it's having a negative on society. You don't, and you don't even speak up about it.
Of course, you don't. So why is this an issue when it will not affect any of us in any way? Now, if you've got moral issues, there'll be people listening that are very, very religious and moralistic. But again, I urge you to think about the fact that it won't affect you. You can still go to your church on Sunday, still do what you have to do. And if someone down the road gets married and they're gay, it won't change you worshipping your God or doing what you do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I don't know why we're wasting so much time on it, why we're wasting so much money on it, why we're debating it for so long when there's other issues in society that they should be putting their time and energy into so that everyone can live a better quality of living.
Nick Xenophon, our MP, spoke out about this in the early hours of this morning because they were in Parliament all day.
It just seems to be that there's this bubble in Canberra where we talk about just about everything that people don't want to talk about. Of course, marriage equality is important, but we should have made this decision and get on with it. People are worried about housing affordability. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about substance abuse. They're the sorts of issues that that people want police to deal with instead of just going round and round in circles. People are just screaming at each other in Parliament and abusing each other. The whole thing is just crap, really.
There you go.
Yep.
That's from Nick Xenophon, who had to sit through it himself.
Yeah. I want our politicians working out how they can deliver everyone cheaper power.
Thank you.
Seriously.
And as he said, housing
affordability. That's what I want them doing.
All sorts of issues. That I can't believe we're spending so much time and effort on this and so much of Parliament's time. And, Rue, the other thing that we learnt this morning, we had the Channel 7 reporter Olivia Leeming talk to us from Canberra. I wasn't aware of this. So we will now have a postal plebiscite, which isn't compulsory, but we will
all
vote
that.
If we want. So it's not compulsory. We will all vote on it, a postal vote.
If you feel like
it. If you feel like it. Then they'll get the results of that, and Parliament will then debate it anyway. So why not cut out this middle section? Why not cut out?
Just make a bloody decision. That's what they're there to
make
do.
A decision.
That's what leadership's all about.
Because it's going to go to them anyway, which I didn't realise. I thought the postal plebiscite was going to be
if you're
going to
do a post and spend $100 million on it, post it out, well, then make that a binding. You know, if you get a majority, like when you vote for who wants to win the election, it actually no one else gets a say after that.
That should be and final.
If you're going to spend the money and the time.
Because it's going to cost a lot of money, this postal vote.
Of course it will.
So if the pollies are going to end up voting as a result of the postal vote, please cut out the middleman.
This way the society's going, where you give everyone a voice with everything. I don't mind everyone having a voice, but you can't take 10 times longer to make a decision. That's what you get paid to do.
Right, 1-3-3-5-3.
And if you don't make the right ones often enough, you get sacked.
1-3-3-5-3, you've heard what we've had to say on this. Give us a reason, if anyone can, why this should not go ahead. Can you please tell me why same-sex marriage should not go ahead? And if you can come up with a valid reason, we're all ears. We would love to hear it. 1-3-3-5-3.
Triple M.
1-3-3-5-3. We've appealed to our listeners to give us a reason why the same-sex marriage bill shouldn't be passed.
Yep. Let's go to Eden Valley. G'day, Stephen.
How you going?
Good, Stephen. You got a reason?
I agree with everything that you've said. I agree that should be a parliamentary vote, not a plebiscite, all that sort of stuff. But in the spirit of freedom and people doing their own thing, I would hate to think that if marriage equality did get up, that priests or any person who is in business of providing, you know, wedding cakes or invites or anything like that, I would hate to think that anybody would get into trouble if they refused to do business with a gay couple.
And I agree with you, Stephen, without trying to confuse this issue, because I've come out saying they should just pass it. I also believe it should be a person's right to say, I don't agree with it. So if you do own a bakery, and I'm strong on this, Rue, I actually think, and this is what I've been trying to say from the start, is that just let everyone do what they want to do. And if you want to be the baker that says, yeah, I'll make your cake for you, good on you. And if you're the baker down the road that says, look, I'm actually against this morally, I think you should be allowed to say that as well.
Yep. Well, I don't know why you aren't you allowed to do that at the moment.
Oh, no, what he's quoting is, and I think Mel...
Yeah, I remember that. There was a story about it a while ago. But why did he get into trouble anyway for that? Well, aren't you allowed to say yes or no to a job?
Oh, well, some people, look on it with disdain, I suppose.
Yeah, you'd look on that business negatively if you were that person, but I thought everyone would have a right.
Well, there'd be those for and those against.
Yep.
Jackie at Manham. Hello, Jackie.
Hi.
Yeah,
what would you like to say, Jackie?
Oh, we've lost Jackie. Yeah. Hello. Stay on the line, Jackie. We'd like to have your say. James at McGill. Hello, James.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Good, James. What's your thoughts on this one?
My thoughts are, fellas, that I think society will... There'll be a big gap that will grow, you know, like between the couples who are gay and, you know, let's say they bring up a kid, like, I think there's going to be hard for that kid to know what is maybe right and what's wrong and, you know, like, it's hard enough, like, bring kids up these days with all like technology and everything else. I think it's just something else that's gonna, you know, maybe confuse them and add to the stresses of life.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, James. Thanks for your point of view.
Let's go to Hindmarsh. G'day, Alan.
Yeah, g'day, lads.
What's your thoughts?
The word marriage, as defined, has been well received and respected by so many people for so long. It means so much to so many people that I just think if you change what it was called to something that is acceptable to everybody, change what you want to call it, it'd go through the drop of, no, I didn't say trousers, I said a hat.
Righto. Yeah, not sure about that, Alan, but you might be right. You might have a point. Hello, good morning, Don.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, Don, what would you like to say?
Listen, I just want to ask the question that what other species or living thing on this planet takes a same-sex partner for life, then believes that they can raise a family and think that everything's normal? Sorry, but I actually believe that these people have mental issues. I seriously do. And then for them to push it in our face and think that, they are normal and for some reason we should accept it, sorry, but I don't.
Why do you think they've got a mental issue?
Well, because, as I said, what other species on this planet takes a same-sex partner for life?
I can't answer
name
that.
Me one.
I couldn't name you one, but does that mean it's right or wrong?
Well, I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm saying that the issues that comes with it, raising kids. I'm sorry, but you might have two loving mums, but it doesn't wash with those that have a mum and a dad.
No, and Don, and that's the very thing we're debating here. That it's up for people to make choices, and you can make that choice. You can say, well, I don't agree with it, and I think that's what's important here now in the society is that we can all have the choice to say, I like it or I don't like
it. So, Don, are you just against it because you don't agree with it? You're not saying, obviously, it's going to affect your life if they did approve same-sex marriage, though, are you?
No, definitely not. It's just that I don't believe it's normal. And it's against everything that is nature.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call. That's what we asked for people to ring in.
Now, and again, I'll stress this. Don's allowed to think that. I'm a big believer in this, that we're all allowed to have our say. But when he says it's against nature, it's actually natural for them. So for same-sex couples, they look at each other, and it's natural that they like each other.
His point, though, does it happen out there with other species or not? I don't know.
No, I don't think so, no.
Interesting opinion. Let's go to Northgate. G'day, Alan.
G'day, guys. Hello.
Yes, yep. Your thoughts?
What would you like to say, Alan?
It's a very interesting topic. I think the politicians should start to pull their heads in and do what we've actually voted them to do. I actually have two gay children, one from my first marriage, one from my second marriage. They both hold really responsible jobs.
Yep.
They both pay taxes.
Yep.
Now, if all the gay people in the world, or in Australia, for instance, decided not to pay their tax until this decision was made, there would be a lot more controversy going on about the gay community and the rights of Australians and their right to do what they feel free to do.
You reckon they'd pass the bill a bit quicker, do you?
I reckon they would really pull their fingers out, wouldn't they?
What do you think? Should we have same-sex marriage, given that you're in a position of experience to talk?
It came as a shock to me to realise that my daughter had a boyfriend, and then her partner, who is a lovely person as well, changed team sort of thing. I think they have the right to do what they feel they need to do.
All right, Alan, thanks so much for calling us. And you talk about the politicians. One of the queries we've got from overnight is that it's about them and it's not about the issue. The politicians are so concerned about their own position, they're not making decisions about us at the moment. Let's go back to Jackie at Manham. We lost her earlier. Hello, Jackie.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'm just a little bit confused with the government because they're, having this big fight about whether they want to vote about same-sex marriage. The thing is that if you are on Centrelink payments and you're a male and a female de facto relationship, you get means tested and all that sort of thing. But you do also too if you're a gay couple.
Do you?
Yep.
Didn't realise that. I thought that was one of the sticking points.
So you can be a couple but not married.
Correct. You can be a same-sex couple, but you are treated exactly the same as any other relationship.
All right, so it's recognised under Centrelink rules.
Correct.
All right. That's good. Good.
Which is a
thank you. Yes, it is government. Correct. Thanks, Jackie. Rue, just quickly, Paul Marshall has tweeted here. Good on you, Paul. Ditz is happy with blatant discrimination. Imagine if he got turned away from somewhere for having red hair. Paul, what I'm saying in the issue with the bakery is that surely in society we can't just be told you will do this. And I'll give you another example. If the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my front door and I give them about 1 second of my time, I say, sorry, not interested, I close the door. I think I've got that right to do that. Like I could say, yeah, come in, tell me about your Bible and what you want to sell. Similarly, if I own a bakery, I think I've got the right to serve who I want and who I haven't. Call it discrimination if you like. I think it's having a choice.
Yeah,
and I just think it's important that we all have a choice. We can't, Rue, you can't blatantly tell every single Australian, you will now think this.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. That's a dictatorship and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
Is that fair or not?
No, it probably is. I know. I'm a bit out of my depth here.
What I'm saying is, if it gets voted in,
yeah.
All I'm saying is let them live and let live, because you and I keep saying the same thing. It won't affect us. You know,
what if someone comes in and asks for something and you because they're a different race, you're not allowed to do that, are you?
No,
you can't. Is that totally different?
That's a can of worms, to be honest. And so for what you've just said and for what Paul said, yeah, I can understand why you would say that.
Mm.
But I don't know. I just believe in a bit of free speech and people having the right, that's all.
It's a tough one. Maybe that's why they're struggling to get the job done in Canberra.
It could be.
Yeah.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined. It's 8:43. It is here on Triple M. Top of 16 today. Been a ton of fog around this morning. It's starting to lift though, Roo, which is good.
Airplanes will be landing again. I don't think they would have been earlier because you couldn't see the runway. But yesterday on the TV screens, we saw the young lad from Victoria who went in the water. We saw pictures of him with blood all over his both lower legs. No one knew what had happened. They're talking about it being a sea lice now, is it? Or a sea bug?
Sea lice.
Sea lice. He was on Melbourne Radio with Eddie and the boys yesterday.
I was just sore from playing footy, so I went down the Brighton Beach to ice my legs off in the water. It was bleeding pretty much straight away once I'd gotten out of the water. I walked home because my legs were still pretty numb then, so I couldn't really feel the pain. But, yeah, we tried to wash it off in the shower at home, and it just kept bleeding. My first thought was that it was a rock, but, you know, it didn't really look like a stabbing wound or anything like that.
It's amazing then that other people haven't complained about this, like it hasn't
staggering.
Happened to them.
I mean, so many people would be going to the St Kilda beaches and not to have heard this before. This is really, really weird. Yeah. I think that we'll hear more about this, surely. Yeah. Absolutely have to.
Yeah. When I was in Darwin that week we had up there, I came back to the room one day.
What'd you get beaten by a crocodile?
I was bleeding. Yeah, my hand was bleeding profusely.
What happened?
I got bitten by Rocco Ricciuto.
Did you?
Yeah.
Quite bad. Is he venomous or not?
God, I don't know. Has he had his tetanus shot?
Well, he still thinks he's a crocodile
bloody,
now.
We were playing and he latched onto my finger and you reckon he'd let go? And you know when little
that's
kids...
That's because he stole his cake.
They don't realise how much they're biting you and bloody hell it hurt.
Don't steal kids' food, Dits. And that's what the mistake you made there. I've got an infected elbow at the moment. I went to the doctor yesterday. I think I actually seriously did get bitten by something in Darwin. I don't know what it was. But my elbow is red. It's swollen.
Yep.
There's pus coming out of it.
Nice.
And it's gone down my arm, into my armpit and everything. So I had to go to the doctor yesterday.
So you've got one of those infected, like, red stripes,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes, that's right. Where it's and it's hot. You can see it through the veins. So I must have been bitten by something in Darwin. I don't know what, but I've been bitten. Let's take some calls. We've got tickets to go to Port and Collingwood on Sunday afternoon for the best caller. What's the weirdest thing you've been bitten by? Not a dog or a cat or anything silly like that. Something weird. 133353. Give us a call on the weirdest thing you've been bitten by.
Can I ask you, Rue, question without notice? You growing up in the bush, you'd see a lot of snakes in your time, wouldn't you?
Not as many as you think you would.
Isn't it? But any of your friends ever been bitten by a snake? I just wonder how much that hurts.
No.
It sounds horrible.
I don't know a bloke who's been bitten by a snake. And that's why I always say to people, don't panic about being bitten by a snake because I don't know anyone who has.
No.
Let's go to Troy from Terang. G'day, Troy.
How you going?
What are you from, Victoria?
Yeah, mate, I'm here for work, so yeah.
Good boy. What have you been bitten by?
Cuttlefish.
Oh.
Now, do they bite or do you just step on them?
No, I actually went spearing down at Torquay and they got a beak like a cockatoo, so it's a bit of a funny story to it. I went up on the beach, my wife was sunbaking, and
it actually bit me on the finger and I flicked it and it actually landed between her legs. So it was quite funny.
Oh, what? You walked in with it on your finger?
Troy!
Did you walk on the shore with it on your finger?
No, I was holding it there and it started biting me when I was on the beach. Because I suppose, yeah. And anyway, I peed myself laughing and it's quite funny and comes up at the parties quite often.
How long are you in Adelaide for, Troy?
The rest of the day.
Only today. All right.
Yeah.
Could have sent you off to the footy. Right. Good on you, Troy.
Good on you, Troy. Let's go to Tina at Waratah. What have you been bitten by, Tina?
I got bitten by an axolotl.
Oh, I've had an axolotl before. Do they bite, do they?
Yes, weirdly enough.
Now, for ignorance like me, what's an axolotl?
A Mexican walking fish.
Really? Mm,
got a tail and legs.
And the head.
Does that hurt?
No. It felt like being bitten by a slimy gummy bear.
Right.
All right. So it wasn't a painful experience, Tina.
All right. Thanks, Tina. Let's go to Mount Barker. Hello, Gillian.
Hey there. How are you?
Yeah, good. What have you been bitten by?
Yeah, so a bit of a weird one. I was bitten by a ferret when I was 13.
A ferret?
Yeah. Bit of a weird one. I was at a mate's place after school one day and his neighbour came around and said, you know, their kid's pet had got out and me being me thought, you know, oh, yeah, a cat or a dog. Anyway, I found this ferret walking around, so I've gone to pick it up thinking, you know, it's a ferret, it's not going to hurt me, and it's torn my hands to shreds and I needed stitches.
Really?
Oh.
And painful?
Extremely.
Yeah.
Oh, it would be.
Right. Turns out the little teeth are really sharp.
So don't mess with the ferrets.
Mm. Let's get a Mono Para. G'day, Darren.
There you go, mate.
Good.
I was actually doing a cleaning out underneath a water heater, and they're not a wasp, but I don't know what they were. They were black things. They actually multiple stung me from my head down to my bottom of my back.
Wow.
And they actually chased me through the backyard. So I must have peed them off that much that they actually followed me right to the back door and stuck onto the back door.
Wow.
And they multiple stung from the top of my head right down to the bottom of my back. They had dots all over me.
Oh, wow. Sounds nasty. Yeah. All right. Good on you, Darren. Let's go to Matt at Seton. Hello, Matt.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good. What have you been bitten by?
I got bitten by a little bait fish.
A bait fish?
What do you
fish?
Mean, a little tiny little, those white little fish?
The thing was, is we actually didn't know what it was. I got bitten by it, and I was catching the bait fish to obviously catch some bigger fish, and I got bitten by it and just threw it in the bucket, and you know, a little bit of time, and the finger started to go a bit numb, and then a little bit more time the wrist started to get a bit numb, and thought, it was a bit worrying, so by the time I got to the hospital, it was up to my shoulder.
Really?
And the funniest thing was, though, is because I took the fish with me to show them to say, hey, this is what bit me. And the doctors said, oh, I've never seen one of those before.
Right.
So then he started calling in more and more doctors to see if they can try and identify the thing. In the end, they couldn't figure out what it was. So they just gave me a cup full of all the different antidotes and it fixed me up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good stuff.
Good on you, Matt.
Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Michael.
How you going, boys?
Cool, Michael.
Yeah, I got bitten by a Tasmanian devil.
Oh, come on. A Tasmanian devil?
Serious.
Were you at Malala?
Yeah, Gorge Wildlife Park.
What were you doing in the enclosure or something?
Nah, I think I was only five at the time and I couldn't see in the enclosure, so I got really close and I pretty much remember I had thongs on and I reckon my toe must have been a little bit too close to the edge of the cage back then. And next minute, I feel a tooth go through my toe.
You got nibbled through the fence.
Absolutely, mate. It was, I couldn't get my foot out from underneath the fence after that. This little animal just decided to, want to drag me through it.
Oh, God.
Now, before we go to our next call, we've got some breaking news out of Melbourne, Roo. In fact, it's out of the Gold Coast. There's a report in Melbourne, in fact, it has gone to air, I can tell you this much, but we do need to verify that Gold Coast coach Rodney Eade has been sacked.
What, this is fact or it's just a rumour?
It has gone to air in Melbourne. I just want to stress that.
A journo's dropped it.
Journalist Sam McClure has dropped the fact that Rodney Eade has been sacked.
What, before 9 o'clock this morning?
It's happened this morning. In fact, that went to air about 10 minutes ago. Still speculation that he might coach against Brisbane this week, so I guess it's not an immediate dismissal. They're saying he won't coach next year from what I read into that.
Wow. All right.
Let's take one more call. Michael, Banksia Park. How are you, Michael?
Yeah, good day, guys. How you doing?
Good. What have you been bitten by?
I've been bitten by an ant on the testicle.
Oh. Come on.
This was 20 years ago. I was a young fella sitting at my nana's breakfast bar and I chat to my nana. Next minute, I just felt this little bit of, you know, a bit of discomfort downstairs, and she's left the room, so I've just checked and had an ant, you know, tiny little normal everyday house ant hanging from my testy.
Not an inch,
obviously,
ant.
When you're a young fella, you freak out, you panic. I thought I was going to die, and yeah. Just remember my nana in hysterics on the kitchen floor laughing at me, running around with my pants down.
That's what you needed from nana at the time.
My uncle's been bitten on the old fella by Yabby. Does that win? He used to play tricks with us and put them in his jocks. He did. And we're all fascinated, me and my brother and the mates. And then one day he went quite red and it latched onto the old fella.
No.
And, yeah. And if you ever see Yabby's claw, right at the end of the claw, they've got two things that just, they get to a real sharp. They look like two pins.
Well, surely that was going to happen.
Of course it was, but he'd had a few beers and likes being a bit of an entertainer.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Old Ralph. Who do you want to send to the footy, Roo?
Oh, an ant on the...
Michael Banksia Park. Good on you, mate. You're off to see Port Adelaide Collingwood.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits with our podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast to listen to whenever you want.
Triple M.